said, wake up, puff.
This is Mix 94.5's Clazzy, Matt and Kimber.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning.
Let's talk footy with Dennis Cometti.
Eagles impressive yesterday, 8-2 in the second half, and Dom Sheed, 26 disposals and 2 crucial goals. Dennis Cometti, good morning, Den.
He was terrific, wasn't he? Good morning, everybody. Yeah, Dom Sheed's terrific yesterday. He's been in terrific form all season long. Another win, as you say, for the West Coast Eagles. That's 6 straight. Wasn't easy. Carlton played some good footy yesterday.
Yeah, they looked pretty evenly matched. I saw the last quarter, Den.
I just heard you say you only saw a quarter and they were terrible in the quarter you watched.
I thought it was all... Look, they got over the end, didn't they? It was okay.
The Eagles did, yeah.
You're beautiful.
Look, I'm not going to lie. I watched the whole quarter and I mainly had questions about Waterman's haircut.
Well, it was an interesting day. I mean, what about Basil on the boundary too? I mean, poor old Basil predicting rain and he became a laughingstock. It just didn't rain. Anyway, I mean, the West Coast Eagles come away from that, I think, pretty happy. They've still got a couple of problems looking at them. And Kimber, I think you'll nod your head when I say this. One position in defence and one position in attack.
She's nodding.
She's nodding?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, how reassuring is that?
Oh, she's with you, mate. Yeah, she's waiting for McGovern to come back. That's it.
She's mumbling, good point, Cometti. Good point.
So what are you saying? You're taking issue with that.
No, I'm too busy focusing on my question to even hear what you're saying.
Well, a couple of positions still open in this team, so that'll be an interesting run home for them. Probably the biggest thing to come out of the weekend, just before I get those questions that you're working on,
yes, mate.
To come out of the weekend was the unrest surrounding the holding the ball rule and the determination of the AFL to stay put. They're not going to move on it.
But right.
We'll leave that because that's pretty dry for breakfast, isn't it? Holding the ball. We don't want to discuss that.
No, there's been too much of that going on from the looks of it. Yeah.
Well, let's go lighter with something like a club song. Let's have a sing-along or something.
Team of the Red and the Blue Band.
Even club songs are no-go areas now.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Do you have any view on that particular topic?
I have one comment to make, Your Honour, and that, who would have thought?
Hey, Den, is Luke Shuey the captain in trouble with the trip at the end, near the end of the game?
I didn't think so.
I thought that looked pretty innocent.
Yeah, it was a greasy day. Let's cut him a bit of slack. It was a greasy day, and it was a pretty tough game. I mean, Carlton weren't pushovers. They just had a bit of an experience in their side, and we had a lot. The West Coast Eagles did what they had to do to win, but early on they were pretty poor, I thought, the West Coast Eagles. Still, they're in a good spot now, and that's what counts.
We had a couple of good games of footy, Port and Richmond and Brisbane and the Bulldogs, and I heard some of the pundits saying, it feels like the season proper has started. Have you noticed a kind of an evolution with the, you know, I guess the skills of the players and the sort of focus of them?
Well, I think Port and Richmond are possibly the best two teams in the competition at the moment. So as a result, I think it's likely they'll play well, particularly when the stakes are high.
Mm.
If you're trying to win a premiership, the stakes were high at the weekend for both of them, and it produced that game. But I taped the game yesterday, actually. Melbourne and who did they play? North. That is the other side of the coin, my friends. I talk about Port and Richmond all you like, but you've got to forget about Melbourne and North Melbourne. That was a shocker.
Yeah, Melbourne.
One of the worst games of footy, and I'm generally the guy who's driving around the city. If there's an amateur game on, I'll park the car and watch it for
yep.
an hour.
Yeah.
You know, I just love my footy. But that one, it was almost a giggle of fun.
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Just a mess. Just a mess of a game.
Melbourne can't get too carried away with that win.
Oh, no. And there's more of those games to come, I think, because, some of the sides are going to realise they can't make the finals. Although Fremantle, strangely enough, they're playing Hawthorn tonight and win.
Yeah.
They are playing Hawthorn. If they win, it's at Optus, and they would be only a game outside the eight. Now, who would have thought it? James Ashe is back in the side along with Stephen Hill.
Yep.
So they've got some sort of chance based on what they did last week. Last week they were very good. So Fremantle, suddenly all this doom and gloom, but they could be knocking on the door of the final.
That's right, Dan. And Carlton next week and Sydney after that. So we'll see how we go. Hey, Dan, good to catch up, mate. All the best. And Kimber will have some more questions for you next week. So you'll know what you're talking about.
It's great today. And you show me up with your research. We'll talk again soon.
Clazzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. 94.5. Perth's best snorer with Clarzy, Matt and Kimber on Mix 94.5.
It's driving me mad.
And our search for Perth's best snorer has come down to this, the final four.
This is more exciting than the race for the Lord Mayor.
Oh, it was not easy to choose because, my goodness, there's so much snoring going on in Perth and it's all hideous, all
yes.
of it.
There were huge meetings, you know, with Mix staff trying to pick the best snorer. Arguments, they had to get takeaway Chinese.
Yeah, had the thing that records your decibels out.
That's
and see
right.
the loudest. But the first of our finalists, well, it comes from Elizabeth in Waikiki. Elizabeth, good morning. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Good morning.
Elizabeth, tell us, how have you managed to stay married to your husband this long?
always try to go to sleep before he does. And surprisingly, that recording wasn't even him at his worst.
Oh.
Why don't we hear that recording,
we
actually?
Need to. Yes. Here it is.
Here we go.
Oh, Sebastian.
Oh, it's wow. so offensive.
Sad, wow, really. Wow, wow. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Elizabeth, does Sebastian know that he's been named and shamed on social media and on Perth Radio?
Oh, he does. He came home from work and I'm like, I'm entering you in the best, WA's best snore, and he goes, do it. And I'm like,
yeah?
Yeah, I'm just like, okay, I wasn't sure you were going to be all for it, but okay.
Elizabeth, he's never been prouder.
Can I ask, has he yeah. been snoring like this since day one? Because this would be a deal breaker for me. So how long yeah. into the relationship did this be? Was this revealed?
Well, we started dating in high school, so right. you know, couldn't have boys sleep over until a certain age.
Oh, it was a trap.
So the door was open. So it was probably a couple of years in when we had our proper sleepover, and I swear, to goodness, I thought I was next to a dinosaur.
Oh, yes. No. And you've got a little one, right? So sweet baby James
yes,
is what? How old now? 10 months, 11 months?
10 months, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what happens with Bub? Does it make it life hard?
I know, because he used to sleep straight through it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. I thought, hang on. All my yeah. friends are like, don't wake the baby. Mm. Don't. If it sleeps through that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And what about you, Elizabeth? Are you getting enough sleep? Because probably not.
Well, I always tend to go to bed really early because I'm an early sleeper, early riser.
Well, you have
so
to be,
I
don't you?
Early enough,
yeah,
yeah.
I just hope he doesn't come to bed past my deep sleep so then I don't wake up.
Oh, you don't want him interrupting that REM sleep. No.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then if he does, I just go get a blanket and go into another room.
Sure.
Or I'm like, no, no, your turn. You get out. Go.
You're a very understanding woman, Elizabeth. Really?
It is a truly unworldly sound, Elizabeth, and congratulations yeah. to both you and Sebastian.
And
you
luck,
must be so proud.
Good luck with the ultimate staycation at Crown. You're in with a chance, Elizabeth. Well done.
Yes, thank you. Clarzy, Matt and Kimber in the morning
on Mix 94.5. Breaking news. You can find love on a reality TV show.
Oh, yes, well, finally.
Yeah, at least that's what three couples believed on Bachelor in Paradise last night.
You were watching that, were you?
Yeah, I've seen a few eps, actually.
You have been sick.
There's kind of like nothing else on. I've just sort of been having it on in the background.
Yeah.
But it was the final commitment to one another last night.
Okay.
And they were in hook, line and sinker. People were throwing around bold statements of love left, right and centre.
I love it! I really came to paradise to find love, and I love how you always smell so good. I love how you laugh when I say something crazy. So many things that I love about you, but I just love the way that you make me feel.
Oh.
There was a lot of love.
A lot of love.
Lots of couples were like, I love him. I'm in love. Now, they've spent a couple of weeks together on
sure.
an island.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
So they haven't been together that long and filmed a few months ago now. We know that some have since split up. But Alicia and Glenn are still living here in Perth together. They've moved in.
Okay.
And Connor and Mary are still together. But I want to know, how do people know that they're in love that quickly?
Because the producer told them they were.
Was that in a script or
yes,
something?
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting.
Kimber, they're getting it in an earpiece saying, you are in love. Say it.
I'm not suggesting it's not real.
Right.
I'm just curious to know how quickly you know it's love.
Can I change my 2.5 hour answer now? Because you're making me feel bad.
No, I mean, it's obviously legit. You knew that after 2.5 hours of dinner with your wife, Laurie, you
sure.
were like, I think I'm in love with this woman.
Yes,
pretty sure.
But 10 years later, here we are.
How long did it take you to utter those words, though, right? Were you sort of holding back going, I've got to see how this feels good, but we've got to see how...
I was thinking of doing it next week. What's that, 10 and a half years?
I want to know, 133353, how quickly did you know it's love, like that you've fallen in love?
Yeah, well, I mean, a very famous Australian actress that I went to drama school with, I won't drop the name, but I know that she married, that her and her husband got married after like 4 weeks.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And they would have got married that night, they reckon.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I said to him, dude, well, you know, and when you know, just do it. Why waste time with a long engagement?
I know, but I thought that before. Mm. I'm like, I think I know. And then it turns out you don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Like 133353, how quickly did you fall in love?
Mm. Feel free to give us a call this morning. It's Claire, Matt and Kimber. It's just gone 7:42. We've got a prize again this week, right?
Yes.
It's Abbey Beach Resort, Busselton. Winter down south your way.
I thought it was going to be divorce lawyers.
No, well, we can work on that maybe for next week after the show wraps.
It doesn't mean that your relationship had to work out.
No, it doesn't.
I mean, it might have, you know, but I'm
the
just saying.
The best 4 weeks of my life.
No, that's okay. Yeah, which seems like an old-fashioned notion. You think of someone in the wartime and they go, oh, we fell in love and we got married the next week.
Yeah,
and
but they only lived to 35.
Yeah, they're probably going off to battle as well.
How quickly did you fall in love? Erica and Coobal up.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Talking love, Erica. How quick was it?
2 weeks. I met my partner. So I'm American.
Yep.
Now I live in Perth. I met my partner in 2013 on a cruise, and we fell in love like literally within 2 weeks. And, you know, true love really exists. It does, because he waited around me. I was studying in America, and he waited around for me for 4 years, and we did back and forth long distance relationship for that long. And then, I moved here, and now we're married, and we're just really happy.
Oh, awesome story. Wow. Well played.
And someone has to really make a call. If you're on a cruise and you meet somewhere and you know there's an end date, you're both going back to your respective homes, then that's, you know, that's a tough conversation.
It's really hard, and, you know, like, you just sort of, and I remember we talked about it for a while, and he's like, either we're, like, in all in or we're out. And we were still all in, like, 4 years long distance, that's a long time, especially from America to Perth.
It certainly is.
Yeah, and we did, we made it work. And, you know, anybody, you know, if you really put your mind to it, you really can. If you love someone, you'll do it for them.
Okay, 2 weeks.
A couple of weeks is pretty quick.
2 weeks, that's quick.
Very good. Let's go to Forestfield. Carol, how quickly did you fall in love?
Probably about 20 minutes.
Sorry?
Heating a pie up or something? What was going on?
The time it took to get your coffee.
At a bus stop? What was going on, Carol?
It's a weird story. Like the previous caller, my husband's American, and he and I were pen pals from the age of 7, and we wrote to each other throughout our school years.
Oh.
And then when we were about 22, we met in person, and it was just, literally love at first sight. Although at the time I didn't really see a future in it, with me being Australian and him being American.
Sure.
And apparently he went to his best mate and said, she's going to go back to Australia and tear my heart out. What am I going to do? And his best mate went, marry her. And he went, oh, yeah, why didn't I think of that? So
how quickly did you get
proposed? 3 weeks later he proposed. And then I came back to Australia, didn't see him until the wedding, which was 10 months later.
Oh, how bizarre.
And then we had to wait another 6 months for a visa so I could go live in America. So we spent so much time apart, but it was really hard at the time, and there was no email or anything in those days.
No.
Yep.
But we got married, and I eventually got to go live over there, and we've been married in a few weeks' time. It'll be 40 years.
Oh,
wow.
Do you feel that with all of that sort of correspondence that you actually got to know him, you know, in a deeper way than you would have done by just face-to-face dating?
Yeah, possibly. I mean, you know, his mum and my mum were pen pals, and they made us write to each other because they thought it would be educational. And so
it was basically an arranged marriage, Carol, let's be honest.
So many stamps.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Of course, I did know his background. I knew what sort of person he was, what sort of family he came from, et cetera. So, yeah, it wasn't like a total stranger.
Mm. Yeah, and whether he could write or print, all those important things in life.
I love the way he does his jazz.
Well, that's impressive, Carol, and a happy wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
I'm going to throw it out there. Anyone could do. Has anyone found love in less than 20 minutes?
That's pretty good.
can we beat 20 minutes?
I don't know if we can.
Paul in Wanneroo, any chance?
Hey guys, how are you all doing?
Good, buddy. How quickly did you fall in love?
Love at first sight, guys. I don't believe it, but I went for a job interview in April 1994. I was dating a girl at the time, but I went for a job interview. Walked into reception. The receptionist was sitting there, and there was this young girl having a cup of tea there. Didn't know her, but I knew, and you guys won't believe me, I was going to marry this girl. She was the girl for me. And 25 years later, we're celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary.
Ah, there you go.
Wow.
And we're still on honeymoon.
So,
yeah.
Paul, did you make your move there at the job interview, or where, how did you make contact?
Yeah, guys, look. My wife, she didn't know that I was the guy.
Sure.
I knew she was the girl.
Okay.
But every I got the job, obviously.
Yeah.
But every day I would see her go past, I knew her very footsteps. I knew she was coming down the passage. And I just glanced her way. And that was the April. By the July, we were talking.
Yes.
In November, we were dating. And a year later, we got married.
There you go.
Oh, Paul.
Happy married,
and I can still hear the enthusiasm in your voice. You're still in love.
25 years.
Guys, we're still on honeymoon. If you see us together, we still hold hands, we still kiss. We've got a granddaughter now, and we are totally in love.
Good on
nothing
you, Paul.
That warms the heart like a stalking story.
It's not bad, is it?
Oh, wow.
Good on you, Paul.
Janet in Hammersley, how quickly did you fall in love?
Probably as long as it takes two hands some on their breakfast.
Oh, hello.
Okay, what was going on there?
Okay, so my husband and I were guiding and scouting.
Yes.
We were at a community camp doing some work in a little town in country Victoria. He came and asked what was for breakfast. I was on breakfast duty. I'd only just arrived that early that morning and hadn't seen him before.
Mm.
But he asked for breakfast. He said, what's for breakfast? I told him, and I went, I think I'm going to marry this guy.
Wow.
What? How do you like your eggs?
Like, how long have you been married, Janet?
We've been married 46 years.
Oh, wow.
We've been together 49.
Yep.
But I was only 17, so we obviously didn't get married until I was a bit older. I was in college and what have you. But, we've been together all that time. And, I always say, well, I fell in love giving him breakfast.
And was that? Was it his face? Was it the way he'd sewn on his badges? What was it, Janet?
Scouting trip, yeah.
I think it was just his demeanour. You know, he's a bit of a joker and what have you. And, I just thought, right, this is it. And we went to a dance the following weekend. And basically, we've been together since then.
Oh, nice.
That's very sweet.
That's gorgeous, Janet. Yeah.
Bit of dib, 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 dob, dob, dob work for you. Well done, Janet.
Yeah, yeah. And we continued to do those community works in that same town. And when our daughters were older, we actually took them back to the little village in Gippsland and stood on the exact spot that we married.
Romance.
Beautiful. You got to love that.
Good on you, Janet.
Why can't this be love? Maddie's...
Thank you for all of those lovely calls.
One that played at your wedding. Why can't this be love?
Go out and get yourself a coffee and fall in love instantly.
Yeah, chat up a barista today. Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning on Mix
94.5. All right, Perth, it's time for your favourite game show. Kimber Cahill, come on down.
Yeah.
Matt Dutinsky, come on down.
That's what I'm talking
You're
about.
The next contestants on Wheel of Classy. Now, here's everybody's favourite host, Dean Clare.
So good to see you both back on the show on a Monday morning with the current score check for 2020. Kimber 14, Matt 12.
Yes, right. It is. I don't seem to be able to close that gap.
Well, you do, and then it opens up again.
Oh, a bit like a gap would.
Yeah, you probably need some Araldite.
Yeah.
Today, of course, we're playing this little game. Rewind selector. So we're going to be, it's best of five, first to three wins, and you must tell us what the songs are after we played them in reverse. Not that easy.
Is there a theme to this one? Because there's often a theme.
Yeah. We've picked inspirational songs to see if we can get the Dockers up with a win against the Hawks at Optus tonight.
Okay.
It'll be a wet night at the footy. Are you ready to play?
Let's do it.
Good luck to both of you. Our names is Buzzers, of course. Song number one.
Matthew Dutinsky.
What do you got, Matty?
I don't actually know, but I think it's We Are the Champions.
Welcome to the Jungle.
Ooh. Kimber Cahill won.
I don't understand why that's an inspirational song.
Matty Dutinsky.
I don't know, but I could just hear him screaming.
You could call the Optus Arena the Jungle, I guess.
You could.
I suppose it's a bit of a sporting parlance. Song number two with Kimber 1, Matt 0, just reminding you.
Matt
That, now, that's a tough one. I've got to say, I know what it is. That's really hard.
Has it got anything to do with Jeff Lynne?
No, but that's what a lot of ELO songs sound
like. Yeah.
No, that's a tough one. I don't know that one.
No, it's a stalemate. Who knew? Oh. Elton.
Okay.
Producer Tom's obviously chosen these.
Yeah, he has.
Inspirational.
Yeah, still standing. Yeah, for Stephen Hill. Okay, Kimber 1, Matt 0. Song 3.
Oh.
Oh, dear.
Matthew Joseph Dictinsky.
What have you got, bud? What do you got, Maddie? I thought you guys would get this sooner.
Quick.
What do you got, Matt?
Because I know.
Do you? Well, hang on. Don't be pushy. Is it One Vision?
No, it's not Queen's One Vision.
Don't stop believing.
It is Journey. Don't stop believing.
Oh, that one took a while, though.
It's a tricky one today.
No, it is a tricky one.
Yeah,
that took a while.
Kimber 2, Matt 0.
Matthew Joseph Sikinski.
What do you got, Matty?
Eye of the Tiger.
He's on the board. Go, Rocky, go. Oh, well done. What a comeback, Rock.
I love that one sounds the same forwards and backwards.
Kimber 2, Matt 1. See if we can get a tiebreaker going here.
Matthew Dictinsky.
What do you got, Matty?
I Get Knocked Down. Chumbawamba.
Nice one.
Oh, my God. Tiebreak.
Just stood up. Now he's like, I'm in the game.
Hang on a minute.
Well,
you know, now we're talking. Chumbawamba. If whatever battle I was going into, I'd play that first.
When you have five songs in a tiebreak situation, because you both missed one, here is your tiebreaker song.
Matthew Dictinsky.
What do you got, Matty?
This is Eminem. I don't know the name of the song, but the moment you own it, you never got to own it. You bone it.
Turning to the adjudicator
who's giving you a thumbs down because you don't have the song title.
Oh, come on. It's 8 Mile or something like
that.
Can
I jump in?
This is your moment.
I'm watching the adjudicator. It's got to be him because I don't want to be seen as a bad guy because my
allowed?
Image. Yeah, I think Kimber can jump in with the answer.
Lose Yourself.
Ladies and gentlemen, a controversial end. Maddie knew it was Eminem.
Oh, Maddie's face is dark.
Didn't have the title.
You thought the clouds in Perth were dark.
Tom, the producer, I handed the responsibility to him because I don't want to be seen as a bad guy. I've said it twice now. And Matt, sorry, mate.
It's fine. He's angry with me because his dog's on this really special diet.
Oh,
and
is that
I
what
let
it's
the
about?
Dog ate a fish taco on Saturday night. Yeah, so he's angry.
Oh, this is official payback. You've been boned by your mate.
That feels like a hollow victory to me.
Doesn't matter, mate. It's still a victory.
Yeah, she's dancing like she's meaning it. There you go. Yep. Looking forward to the rematch because Kimber's 15, Matt's 12, falling behind badly. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. Another day brings more news with the occasional bizarre twist. Kimber's back. She's a really good news reader, but
here's what Jen King missed. Getting back to nature.
Oh,
that's a
lovely.
Beautiful thing, isn't it? Mm. Well, we all say that. Mm. We all say that we love nature.
Birdsong.
For 2 days.
Getting back. Yeah, well, yeah, that was it. You know, my experience of going to places like the Kimberley, for example, is that you go out there, you get out of the car, maybe you're 100 kilometres from anyone else, any civilization, you breathe it in, you look at the horizon, and then you go, we might head back. I'm feeling a bit nervous.
Let's go get something to eat.
I need a long black.
The photos never quite do justice to it. Do they?
They don't. And nature has a way of making a fool of you.
Oh, true.
As Boogie and I found out when we got lost in the Blue Mountains, as two middle-aged, slightly fat men, we did not want to get choppered out. Unfortunately, we didn't need to.
Yep.
But it does make a fool of you, as this man in Berlin found out, a German nudist that got his stuff stolen because he had all his kit off, but he had his bag there by a wild boar.
This footage is hilarious.
The poor. So he's chasing a wild boar and her piglets.
Yeah.
Because they've stolen his bag.
Naked as a jaybird at the time.
Who's filming this? The piglets?
No.
They're putting it up on Instagram.
It's so German, right? And I've read the BBC story, so there are different angles. But so they call this a Freikörperkultur, which is free body culture. Right. Quite big in Germany, and I myself have got involved in that when I was in Stuttgart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I got my kid off and went to an aquatic centre and everyone was naked.
Imagine you getting your kid off.
I know. I do love doing it. But they love it in Germany, and so they were all laughing at this, older man,
yeah.
I don't know, in his 60s.
He was quite portly.
He was quite portly, running through this park in Berlin, the middle of Berlin, some people naked, some people not.
Yeah.
They're very cool about all that sort of stuff, chasing a pig. A wild boar with his laptop.
It looked like the start of a joke, didn't it?
It did.
You know,
yeah.
If you think about it.
And they're all like, ha 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 ha, look at it, very funny. And the woman that I saw quoted kept going on, very Germanic, about how focused he was.
Oh, okay.
About not laughing at the fact that a slightly portly naked man was running after a wild boar.
Like, I don't know, his clothes must have been of some value. It feels like if a nudist has their clothes stolen, I would expect the attitude to be like, eh?
No, it was the laptop.
It was his laptop.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It was the laptop. Right. The clothes schmoes.
Yeah.
In the Freiburger culture.
None of them cared about it.
Not even care about the clothes.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love it. It's sad.
He got it back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the end result. Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning. On Mix 94.5. The wet weather. What do we say about the wet weather? The wild and woolly weather today, showers possible, storm 18 degrees, showers easing tomorrow, but it's been a big 30-odd hours.
It has. Perhaps not as big as it was supposed to be, which normally happens, I have to say, even on this station.
Yeah.
When you were away, Kimber, on Friday, we were saying, all right, 4 days of rain.
Yeah.
Better start building that ark.
Isn't it funny that they said a four-day downpour, but there was never going to be much on Tuesday or Wednesday. It was always pretty much for the weekend and a bit today.
Yeah.
Well, also, I think Perth weather is very suburb-specific. It's very easy to be like, nothing happened, and then one suburb over, they're like, we all lost the roofs to our homes.
Well, it's quite a big place, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be. I mean, you know, there's a few thousand homes without power and some fallen trees.
Okay.
I've still got a fence standing, so that's...
That's the yards. You're the canary in the coal mine. You're fence, basically.
Yeah, that's how we tell. If I lose a fence, then we know it was windy.
Yes.
Oh, look out. You're okay.
So, yeah.
I'm just joking.
Claire's choking.
Oh, yeah, to go to airport.
Can I get you some water?
See, that's what happens.
Can I tell you?
So worked up about the idea of 4 days of rain.
I've got a dry bit of throat. Can I tell you, speaking of airports.
I don't know, can you tell us?
Perth Airport. No, I'm dogged. 38.8 millimetres in 24 hours. That's all I've got to say. Bye.
Okay, bye. Clancy. Someone get the man some water.
That was really important. That was actually how I was going to close the break by that 38.8.
No, do a joke, mate. It's your role.
And so we all survive.
Yay! Crazy Matt and Kimba in the morning on Mix 94.5. As you guys know, Friday morning I woke up feeling a bit sick. And so thought, better not come to work. Don't want to make anyone unwell.
Yeah.
So it was just going to be a day of rest because I thought, well, what else do you do when you feel sick? You just lay around, whatever.
Watch Netflix.
Yeah, exactly. And Friday afternoon was the perfect calling for a little afternoon nap.
Oh, lovely.
And so I snuggled into the couch and I had my little blankie and I put on a rom-com, which I would never see otherwise. Like rom-coms are not my go-to sort of film.
Sure.
But I love watching them when I'm sick.
Oh, really?
I love them.
You find them comforting?
Yeah, I think they're a really easy watch. You don't have to really concentrate. They're like, it's humour but not making me laugh out loud, you know?
And you sort of know how it's, even if you fall asleep, you've got a strong sense they're going to end up together.
Well, this is the thing. They're the perfect fall asleep to movie because they never make too much noise in the background.
So where'd you go? Did you go Julia Roberts territory or where was your rom-com?
I went with Ben Stiller.
Okay.
The Heartbreak Kid.
Sure. Most of the work that I have done has been described as something you can fall asleep to, actually. So
any rom-coms?
Rom-coms are my favourite napping genre. You should try it. And I did, and I dozed off. I dozed off quite early until I heard very dramatic noises outside.
Mm.
And they were loud enough to wake me because it sounded like something horrible was happening in my neighbour's yard.
Oh, okay.
And I got up to investigate because it was that kind of sound where I was like, this is ongoing and I'm not sure what it is. These are the soothing sounds of nature that I managed to capture from my yard.
Mating? Like, what was going on there?
I don't know. Like, is that standard bird communication? That went on for ages.
Mm.
Easily half an hour. And I couldn't tell if the birds were being strangled, if they were being harmed, if they were mating.
It sounded like there was a two different birds, right? Two
yeah, like I think there was a few.
Magpies and those honey, whatever they are.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. They were going crazy honey in badges? The trees, though.
Honey badgers.
So,
oh, did you think for a moment... You, exactly. Did you think for a moment that your Ben Stiller movie had finished and Hitchcock came on, the bird? That's hideous.
Well, in the end, because I couldn't sleep with it. It was so noisy. So I did get to see all of Ben Stiller's The Heartbreak Kid. Well and it done. Was from something like 2013. I'm a long way back.
Mm.
But it turned out to be an all right movie.
Okay. And you're not the first person to make that observation. A lot of the English and whatnot comedians that come out here that are used to such a sort of, you know, their bird life is pretty much...
Oh, yeah, like, you know, as sweet the morning, little tweeting.
Sweet little dicky birds.
They get here and they think exactly that.
Yeah.
Very aggressive.
What the hell is that?
It was not good for sleeping.
No.
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning.
On Mix 94.5.
Now, we know people all over the world have been stuck in different places because of COVID, with expectations of trying to return home and get to where they can be safe. But it's not easy, is it?
No, it's not. It seems like the airlines are making some of those big decisions, not governments, on who gets a flight home and who doesn't.
Yeah, true. Danielle Foxcroft is a young Perth mum who flew to the UK to attend her father's funeral, which is all very sad, but she continually gets bumped from flights home, so she can't get... She's stuck in the UK.
Yes.
Can't get back to her young family, including a little fella who's turning three this week. Firstly, Danielle's on the line from the UK. Our condolences about your dad.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me on.
Danielle, we know you took a 10-day trip to attend your father's funeral and then you've booked a return flight, you had it ready to go, you've got your travel exemption. Is the airline just bumping you from the flight because they don't have enough seats on passenger flights?
I believe so, but they're not looking at people's circumstances. They're looking for people who have spent the most money, the people that can afford the business class flights.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really frustrating because it means that people who went to other countries for genuine reasons now can't go back. I didn't come here for a holiday.
No.
I don't expect any special treatment.
Mm.
I've gone through the correct channels. I understand how important it is to keep Western Australians safe. I'm willing to pay for the quarantine like everybody else. I don't need special treatment. All I'm asking is to have a seat on the flight that I paid for to reunite me with my family.
Is your young fella, it's Harrison's birthday this week, is that right?
Yes, it's on the 14th, that's Friday. I mean, there's no chance I'm ever going to get back for it, but just to know I was on a flight on Friday on my way home to do my quarantine and follow the process so I knew I'd be back there with him in a couple of weeks' time would be amazing.
Yeah, around about his third birthday, yeah. And Rick, how's your hubby holding up back here at home? We saw him on the news last night.
This has been really stressful for him. He works full-time whilst dealing with the stress of everything that's going on as well.
Danielle, how are they executing this? So are you turning up to the airport, you're ready to take your flight, you know, is it everybody fighting for a space at the airport or how do you find out?
I have been receiving emails. So the first time they said your flight has been cancelled, I later learned that actually it hadn't been cancelled. They were only taking the business class passengers because of restrictions that have been put in place in WA, which I understand.
And and Danielle, you know, DFAT or whichever department is supposed to be helping you, I mean, what are they advising you? Because, you know, on face value, it seems that your story should be quite a quick fix.
You'd think so. It's really, really difficult. I don't really know how to respond to that. I've contacted the embassies.
Yes.
I've contacted the airline directly. I've contacted the civil aviation authorities in the UK, and they say, you do have a legal case here. This is completely reasonable, and they can't do that. It's extortion.
That's what it sounds like, yeah.
You know, I think Mark McGowan's done an absolutely fantastic job in Western Australia, and I thank him for keeping my family safe and my friends and everyone in Western Australia. I just wish that when these exemptions were put out, that there was some sort of categorisation process so that the people in the most need could return first.
Yeah.
Well, Danielle, we're certainly hoping that it turns around for you and maybe for your son's birthday, hopefully they'll say we can get you on a flight and you'll be home soon.
I really, really hope so. Thank you very much.
Crazy Matt and Kimbo in the morning
on Mix 94.5.
The football, is it a mirror of society? I don't know, but certainly we've been exposed to some behaviour in the dressing rooms. Maboy Chol, the South Sudanese Australian player who plays for Richmond,
yep,
and I'm sure that you've seen the footage of him being touched, one would say, inappropriately by his teammates. And because he has black skin, we're being asked now to consider whether this is racial connotations, whether it's sexual connotations, or whether it's just boys behaving badly, which I know that we hate saying that term.
Yeah, and, I won't accept anyone saying boys will be boys.
No, not boys will be boys, but that they are boys, and we've got to stop expecting our sports people to be anything other than just sports people.
It's a really interesting one because Richmond have come out and said, look, the behaviour is inappropriate, unacceptable and juvenile.
Right.
Left out the fact that it's illegal. This is harassment. It's totally sexual harassment. The guy had a finger put to his bum and also grabbed on the genitals multiple times.
Yes.
It is disgraceful behaviour. Yes. And now they're going, oh, and there's no different law for the locker rooms. And I'm like, this should be outed. I think it's disgusting.
Let's be honest. The reason why this is captured on film, we understand the AFL is trying to capture emotion in any way they can. And that's why there's been an influx in the last couple of years of videos from footy clubs announcing a coach or a senior player or a legend of a club announcing that a young player is making his debut.
Yep.
And then the follow-up video to mum or nana or dad. So they're trying to get the emotion. Part of the emotion is how footy fans forever have said, don't, whatever you do at the end of a game, don't cut off our boy singing the theme song.
No.
So that's what part of the reason why the cameras are in the room.
It's funny because I find it so inane. I hate the post-match interviews. I hate the song. Yeah. But as producer Tom, who also produces the footy, does an excellent job here on Mix, was telling me, this is the payoff.
Fans love it.
Fans love it. These guys get paid very well. And part of that is you are on show all the time or for most of the time.
Yeah. But I mean, I think then this behaviour should be outed. I don't think it's probably the first time it's happened.
Oh, no. And I should point out that there's footage coming out now of other games that didn't include this young man, Mabor Chol. Of people flicking and sticking fingers where they probably shouldn't be.
Yeah. Here's Damien Hardwick, the Tigers coach after the game.
Are you aware of what appears to be an indecent assault against one of your players by another one of your players in the rooms? Do you have any knowledge of these things?
No, mate.
Are you expecting to be playing at your next game?
I might call it quits. Thanks, guys.
So, Damien Hardwick, they're not interested in having a chat about it.
Well,
maybe little he knew at that stage, post-game.
Yes, his voice had the tone of, oh, I don't know about this. I might just check with the lawyer.
Yeah.
A little bit.
And I find it really disturbing too because I've seen lots of comments online and lots of blokes, you know, from the perspective looking in going, this is unacceptable. It's got to stop. And that's basically because they think the behaviour is homosexual.
Yes.
They're like, this is gay behaviour. And it's funny how straight men have no trouble understanding consent when they're in a gay nightclub. You know, like this is the sort of behaviour that I go, women tolerate this kind of harassment and disgusting, threatening behaviours every day.
But can you see how this...
And no one cares.
How, and Matt said the word boys, you know, like boys thinking this is a bit of fun. But if you watch Chol, he's actually not enjoying it because it's, at very least, really annoying because it's a constant behaviour.
And if it happened to either of you, would you not be embarrassed or humiliated by that behaviour if that were you on camera?
Depends. No, and it's important to sort of highlight your point there is that you're saying that, you know, a bloke in a, let's say, a gay club or in another situation, if perhaps a man was trying to crack onto a straight bloke and the guy goes, nah, mate, I'm not into that, that's understanding that no means no.
Yeah.
Why can you not play that out in your life with women?
Exactly. I can't tell the difference when it's women and women feel threatened.
I didn't view
this
or think about this in a sexual kind of way because I had a kid at primary school who used to constantly touch and not in a sexual way, but touch and badger me to react to constant, and it was more just an annoyance, and it wasn't until I got tough with him that he actually stopped, and it was almost like a smiling form of bullying in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
It wasn't until I took some action where it actually happened. But this is Matthew Lloyd, the Essendon legend, talking about this.
You could see he wasn't comfortable with what happened. Imagine doing that on Tony Lockett, senior mature player, and you'd throw him into a brick wall. Richmond are a great football club, but they'd be highly embarrassed because that was repulsive and an invasion on Mabior Chol, what went on the other night.
I mean, interesting that he's suggesting that the best reaction to that toxic masculinity would be to smash the bloke into a wall.
Exactly.
come a long way.
And I get it, Clezzy, you're saying like if that behaviour is not deemed sexual in its intent, it doesn't matter. Touching somebody's private body, it doesn't matter where you touch them. You shouldn't be touching other people without their consent.
Yeah, you can see he's not enjoying it. Yeah.
And we'll just end on, you know, heroes can be found in other parts of life.
Not just sport. Crazy Matt and Kimber in the morning on Mix 94.5. this National Lazy Day, August 10.
Yes, I mean, obviously there's celebrities across the world that are, you know, jumping online and doing their bit to raise awareness about various things, mm-hmm. some worthy, some less so. But I thought it was time that we jumped on the bandwagon of something. Mm-hmm. And it's very important to me, this International Day of Being Lazy.
I'm lazy when I'm loving, I'm lazy when I play. I'm lazy with my girlfriend a thousand times a day. I'm lazy when I'm
sleeping. Oh. Hey, that lazy makes me feel good.
August the 10th is the International Day of Lazy. I've done quite a lot of research trying to find out where it started.
I hope you did that research before today.
Oh, yeah.
Because today you're meant to do nothing.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, no, I wouldn't work on Lazy Day.
Oh, were you a bit slack with your research?
I'm barely even breathing for myself at the moment.
It's actually funny, just talking about it, I just want to lie on Kimber's couch. Because it sounds like when you were snuggling up on there the other day.
Oh, it's the spot to be.
Sounds like a lazy place.
It seems that it started after at the last day of the Festival of Industry, Trade and Culture in Colombia.
Oh, really?
They decided, which is, I guess, a very Spanishy Mediterranean thing to do. It's like, yes, we're going to work hard, but on the last day, we're going to sleep.
Siesta.
We're going to siesta.
Hey. I sort of resent the idea that it's called Lazy Day. Like, why aren't we allowed to do nothing? Are we all so ambitious that on our days off or on like some days where you're like, I feel like we're constantly feeling like we have to be productive.
Yes.
Why?
Why? I agree with you.
Like, and it's called lazy if you don't get out of bed on time or if you don't do anything with your day. Like, why isn't that just loving life?
Well, what about those days when we have a holiday, especially if it's in the colder months? Mm. So you've got a day. And how do you feel by about 3 o'clock if you've done nothing apart from watch Netflix and about four movies?
Successful.
Awesome.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's lazy. And yeah, the only trip you've done is the toilet or the kitchen.
Yeah, that's it. And Steppy D came downstairs yesterday morning, my stepdaughter going, I love this weather because you can stay at home and not feel guilty.
Yeah,
so
we're looking
already
for
our children are, you know, feeling that way.
She's got their head around it. Like, I get what she's saying.
It's a privilege thing, though, isn't it? Laziness. Like, yes. Because if you're someone who's lower income, you're having to work your guts out and you've got two or three jobs, you don't get the option.
Of course.
So it's a privilege to be lazy.
Don't get the gap.
No, but I mean, I lack ambition so much that I'm very good at this. Like, I had a great day yesterday, and all I did was watch The Labyrinth.
Lazy.
And Dark Crystal.
Lazy.
I had two ice creams.
Oh, mate.
Dark Crystal as well.
Oh, it was a you're a Gelfling.
Okay, so we now have just under a year till the Tokyo Olympics. Is it too late to get being lazy installed? Because we're all a chance at gold.
Well, who'd watch it?
And yes.
Lazy people.
Done.
True.
Done.
Love it.